Why are businesses like HelloVit choosing Apple products and services?
So we started the business 2 years ago. We had a few people who were used to PCs, and this was their first foray into Macs. But it's been super smooth getting everyone onto those devices, and everyone seems really, really happy.
Find out how Mac can help you run and grow your business at apple.co/HelloVit.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, November 25th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. As you prepare for holiday travels, there's a flight tracking app that's managing to notify flyers about delays and cancellations well before the airlines themselves. We'll take a look at how it all works. Plus, is it time to roll back the clock on smartphones? Actor Aaron Paul of Breaking Bad fame seems to think so. He recently joined a WSJ Tech Live panel on minimalist tech. We'll hear part of that conversation later in the show. But first, flight tracking app Flighty somehow regularly manages to beat airlines when it comes to alerting passengers for flight delays and cancellations. The secret to this seemingly impossible feat? Data. That's according to our Science of Success columnist, Ben Cohen, who has been relying on the app for his own travels and joins me now to explain how it works. So Ben, tell us about Flighty and how it came about.
Flighty is the world's most popular flight tracking app. It is an app that is a live flight tracker, but also does a whole lot more than that. It gives you delay updates, cancellation alerts, and tells you basically everything that you could possibly want to know about any flight that you might take. And amazingly, it actually came about during a flight delay. Ryan Jones, the founder of Flighty, was stuck in an Airport Chili's in Fort Lauderdale on New Year's Day in 2018. He was there for 4 hours when he decided that enough was enough and he was going to build exactly the product that would have allowed him to avoid the mess that he was in. And so ever since 2018, he has been building out Flighty, and every time there is chaos in the skies, they get a surge in downloads. And so the past 2 weeks after the FAA mandated a reduction in air traffic across America, a lot of people turned to Flighty to find out exactly what was happening with their flight and how they might be able to navigate themselves to avoid chaos and make traveling just a little bit less miserable.
So it seems like data is a really important part of this app. Where does Flighty get all its data?
You're right. So they pay for the best data they can find. And what Ryan Jones says is, if you have good data, we will go out and get it. So there are lots of data providers, everything from private to government, FlightAware to the FAA. They get data from around the world. And what they do is they have evaluated that data and they feed all that data into their own models so that they can figure out what is happening with your flight. And the thing that makes Flighty really unique and what a lot of people get the most value from is that they will tell you what's going on with your flight often before the airlines themselves. You might think, like, that's impossible. Like, how is this private app getting you this information before the company that you are asking to ferry you across the sky in this gigantic tube? What Ryan Jones says is that that is the priority of Flighty. It's not the priority of airlines to tell you everything they know as fast as humanly possible. They have a lot of other stuff they have to worry about.
Okay, but no app is perfect. So did you come across any cons or issues with using it?
So the biggest issue actually is about who can't use it. It is only available on Apple and not Android. So after writing this column, I heard from a lot of people on Android saying, when is it going to be available on Android? And also, why did you write this column when it is only available on Apple? But I do think it's like a pretty good sign of an app's utility when it's in the travel space where people really love to complain. And the biggest complaint they get is that more people can't use it.
Is Flighty profitable?
They are profitable. So they were like barely above break even for the first few years, especially because COVID like shut down travel and really was a huge disruption. But they are profitable since then. It's also important to note that there's a free version of the app with limited features, and then you have to pay $59.99 for an annual subscription, or you could pay week by week or month by month, which if you don't travel all that much and you want to use it, you could turn it on for the week when you are traveling and then cancel it when you are not traveling and then churn and come back right again the next time you get on a flight.
That was WSJ Science of Success columnist Ben Cohen. Have you tried using flight trackers? If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to let us know in this episode's poll. or leave us a comment with your flight tracking strategy. Coming up, a phone with no social media apps or FaceTime. Why the maker of a stripped-down smartphone is betting you'll want one with fewer bells and whistles. That's after the break.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Would you ditch your smartphone for one with fewer features? That's the radical idea behind Light, a company founded on the belief that the constant battle for our attention has turned smartphones into an addiction. At this year's WSJA Tech Live conference, Wall Street Journal senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern sat down with Kai-Wei Tang, co-founder and CEO of Light, as well as actor, producer, and entrepreneur Aaron Paul, best known for his work in Breaking Bad, who happens to be a vocal fan of the product. Here are some highlights from that conversation.
Let's show the phone real quick, just so people have a good sense of what this can and can't do. Kai, you're going to show us your phone.
Happy to. This is the Light Phone 3. It's designed to be your Swiss Army knife tool, right? It's aluminum frame, replaceable battery with a 50 megapixel camera. We're trying to give people all the essential tools that you need during the day, making a phone call, text message, direction, alarm clock, podcasts, but we strip away advertisement, data collecting, or attention economy. The point is not going back in time. It's more about moving forward from here. It's not a dumb phone, in my opinion. It's a simplified smartphone that offers you all the modern tools, but just without the need to maximize engagement. That's what I think the root cause of the problem of our technology is attention economy.
You both have embraced this lifestyle. What do you feel like you've gotten back from it?
Oh, man. I mean, I got to tell you, not having my smartphone around and just really going light, honestly, I feel healthier. Mentally, I feel happier. I don't know, maybe it's ignorance is bliss, but I think there's just way too much information we're just drowning in constantly. I don't think we're meant to have that.
I guess we're not also not trying to ask people to give up technology and live in a cave.
Right.
I'm trying to say that we always have different tools to do different things. You have a big SUV to drive to pick up a lot of stuff. You have city driving car, different shoes, different jacket. But for some reason, the last 15 years, when it comes to phone, it just has to be smartphone. Same thing. Look the same anyway. App store, all the same. And I don't know why can we design something that's actually help human do things quickly. So I could go back to practice, I don't know, pianos or oil paintings that makes me happy, or hang out with your friends and family that actually make you happy versus swiping for an hour and you feel horrible about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, why are we keep doing that?
I have friends that anytime the new iPhone comes out, they get it that week. It's like, why? Why do you have to get a new phone always? The phone, the smartphone, because I do have a smartphone still, but I mainly use my Light phone. But, you know, I FaceTime my kids when I'm away working. But the iPhone I have, I had an iPhone stolen from me in London a few years ago. And the phone that I still have was a phone that my buddy dropped in a swamp that he just left there in London, and I found a rake like 3 days later and I grabbed it out of the swamp for him to surprise him. He's like, oh, I already got a new phone. And then he's like, you can just keep it. I was like, oh, great. So I have that phone, we call it Swampy.
Okay.
But I don't need a new phone always, you know what I mean?
When you think about all the things you've added to the Light phone, it really seems to me like it's really the anti-social media phone. It's not the anti-smartphone.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron said the same thing, but we've been saying that we're not, as a company, we're not anti-technology. I wanted to understand how this technology tools are making money. And I want to design it in a way like how we design hammer, screwdriver, rulers. I know I have a hammer somewhere in my house. When I need to use it, I'll get it out, I'll do that thing, and I don't swipe my hammer for 5 hours so that hammer company can make it. Like, why are we doing that? Like,
yeah.
The technology tool is supposed to be tool that empower human beings so we do things quickly, minimize our interaction with app or technology, but do that things for me so I could go back to hanging out with my friends. And that's supposed to be the purpose of technology. I think fundamentally, the attention economy really ruined that for me. Mm-hmm. When we start Lightphone, it's not about I wanted to, like, you know, try to be innovative or something. I want to use modern tools without someone trying to maximize my engagement. I just want to use this tool so I could get a taxi home. That's it. That's all I want.
But over time, I mean, now the Lightphone 3 does quite a bit more, right? There's maps on it. There's messaging, music.
Yeah.
It feels like you got to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, the line's really clear to us, our company. I'm happy to keep designing and creating utility tools. But we have three principles. Number one, I'll never show our user advertisement. Number two, every interaction a user take has a clear ending. For example, you want to get a direction from A to B, we will never get you to B. And when you get to B, this action ends, nothing else. Number three, I will never show you infinite feeds, nothing to scroll, nothing to mindlessly swiping for no reason. I want everything to be intentional. That's the principle how we redesign smartphone into, you know, the next generation of technology, large language model, AI. I think it should be the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we should look into how this tool make money, whether or not that tool align with my goal in life to be happy, to be fulfilled, to hang out with my family, and we design accordingly.
That was WSJ's senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern speaking with Light CEO Kai-Wei Tang and actor Aaron Paul at this year's WSJ Tech Live conference. You can find the full chat linked in our show notes. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to take this episode's poll or leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang, with supervising producer Katie Ferguson. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.